Good morning, I'm Judge Castle. To my right is Judge Hagel. To my left is Judge Mormon. We're here today in the matter of Sari versus Nicholson, docket number 04-1172. Would counsel for both parties please note your appearance for the record?
Kenneth Carpenter, Your Honor, on behalf of Mr. Sari.
Thank you.
Ken Walsh for the Secretary. With me is Jim Moriarty.
Thank you. Are both parties ready to proceed? Each party will have up to 30 minutes to present their argument. Counsel, Mr. Carpenter, do you wish to reserve any time? Okay. You may begin.
This case is about the fundamental nature of the adjudication of an appeal of a claim for compensation. As a consequence, we must examine the duties and responsibilities imposed upon the VA to the claimant. Likewise, this court's duties and responsibilities. I believe it's fair to say that under this ex parte system of adjudication, the process is claim driven. The goal of the process is articulated by the VA's statement of policy found at 38 CFR 3.103A, which is to fully assist the claimant in the development of his claim and to allow every benefit which can be supported by law. This case requires an examination of what constitutes the scope of an appeal of a claim for compensation. It is undisputed in this record that Mr. Sari initiated and completed an appeal as required by 38 U.S.C. Section 7105 from the VA's denial of a claim for compensation for his psychiatric disability. Did Mr. Sari receive the administrative appellate review that he had asked for? The answer is no. He got a remand, as has now been clarified by the supplementing of the record, and the VA then, on appeal, partially granted the benefit and then terminated, without authority, that appeal. Such termination of an appeal should not be permitted. The first question that needs to be addressed in this case is this court's jurisdiction. Prior to 2001, when Congress amended this court's jurisdiction statute, this court's jurisdiction was contingent upon what was then referred to as a jurisdictionally conferring notice of disagreement. By the Congress's amendment in 2001, that jurisdictional requirement was removed. Thus, this court's jurisdiction is now solely dependent upon a final board decision which is adverse to a veteran or to a claimant. That is precisely what we have in this case. Court's jurisdiction to consider the adverse consequences of the April 2004 board decision, which mistakenly determined that the VA's December 1998 rating decision was a full grant of benefits, and its implicit decision that the VA's unilateral decision to withdraw.
Counsel, what makes that a decision of the board, that paragraph?
Well, two things, Your Honor. First, Mr. Sari's appeal remained in appellate status, notwithstanding what the rating decision said in December of 1998. And the board dealt with that as what it referred to as a preliminary matter and decided that the decision made below that the appeal was terminated was correct. And as a consequence, that decision is subject to review by this court, because in doing so, the board affirmed an unlawful action on the part of VA in withdrawing Mr. Sari's appeal. The consequence of that is that he now has an adverse board decision that, if this court affirms that board decision, becomes subsumed as a result of that action. And under...
How do you square that argument with Grantham?
Well, Your Honor, Grantham and Barrera do not apply because, as I mentioned in my opening remarks, Grantham and Barrera were cases that interpreted this court's prior jurisdictional statute, which dealt with a jurisdictionally conferring NOD.
Well, that's talking about our jurisdiction, but what about the implications of Grantham with regard to the board's jurisdiction to address the issue?
Well, honestly, I don't think it has any application whatsoever. The board's jurisdiction was implicated as soon as Mr. Sari completed his appeal in accordance with 7105. The board had jurisdiction when it remanded. The board continued to have jurisdiction until the board had made a final decision.
doesn't Grantham indicate that there should be a separate notice of disagreement filed with regard to downstream elements where the primary decision dealt with service connection?
And that arose because of the nature of the jurisdictionally conferring NMD to trigger jurisdiction in the first instance. This court has held that the board's jurisdiction is not dependent even on a substantive appeal. The board's jurisdiction is dependent upon whether or not there is or isn't compliance with 7104A by the initiation of an appeal. There was an initiation of the appeal, and in fact, there was a completion of the appeal. Once that was done, the board's jurisdiction was implicated and could only be resolved by a decision. A decision was made in April 2004, and the decision was made that there was no appeal pending. That decision was simply wrong. And as a consequence, Mr. Siri was both adversely affected and has a right to judicial review by this court under 7252 to determine whether or not the board's decision was made in accordance with law, and it clearly was not. Let's examine the December 1998 regional office decision regarding the withdrawal of Mr. Siri's appeal. In 1998, the VA's decision, and it's important to recognize that this was not in any notice to Mr. Siri, but in the rating decision itself, the VA indicated at the bottom of the ratings decision that this was considered to be a full grant of benefits, and Mr. Siri's appeal was
considered. Mr. Siri, he did get a copy of that decision, did he not?
I have no idea, Your Honor, whether he did or not. There's nothing in the file to indicate that he did. The VA's practice is inconsistent as to whether or not the rating decisions are or are not forwarded. It's my understanding that the current procedure by the VA is to include a copy of the decision, but Mr. Siri has no recollection as to whether or not he did or did not receive a copy of that decision in 1998.
Are you contesting whether he received a copy or not?
I'm saying there's no evidence of that.
Are you contesting that issue? That was the subject of the supplemental briefing order that issued by Judge Castle when he had this as a single judge.
Well, contesting it to the extent that it was unlawful, yes.
No, I'm talking about receipt. Did he get a copy of the rating decision and the appellate rights notice?
This happened in 1988 to a psychiatrically disabled
person. Is there any reason he shouldn't apply the presumption of regularity to find that he did receive those?
I do not believe you can find the presumption of regularity applicable to the rating decision, Your Honor. I believe that you can find it applicable to the VA Form 4107, which is noted as having been included in the notice.
What about page 3 of your brief? Also attached to VA's December 7, 1998 letter was a copy of the ratings decision dated December 2, 1998.
That is an overstatement on my part, that there is nothing in the record to confirm that, and I have no reason. I cannot represent to the court that that is, in fact, what took place. The critical question...
Well, you already did represent to the court it took place. This is your brief.
I understand that, Your Honor, and I misspoke and overstated the matter. It was done at the same time and is in the record. As it was supplemented for both the notice and the rating decision. The question, however, is whether or not the VA can, in contravention of its own regulation, withdraw an appeal as they did so, whether they gave him notice or not. The fact that they gave
Well, did they withdraw it? I mean, they say they withdrew it, but at the same token, this board decision, as you have argued, nevertheless undertook it upon itself. Somehow or another, the decision got back up to the board decision, so it was not, in effect, withdrawn. They don't say it was or was not properly withdrawn. You seem to infer from that, but I don't see it said there. All it says is, as this action is considered a full grant of the benefits sought on appeal with respect to that issue, the issues remaining on appeal, which would indicate that that was on appeal. It no longer remains on appeal because they considered it a full grant of the benefit sought. So whether the RO thought he was withdrawing it or not, this board, as you've argued, nevertheless, assumed its authority over it, found that it gave a full grant of benefit sought, therefore it's no longer on appeal.
But, Your Honor, they do not articulate what benefit it is that they consider was a full grant of benefit.
Well, presumably your client was seeking 100%. He only got 30%, and the board is wrong. Isn't that your argument?
That's correct. And we believe that the notice that accompanied that in the written notice that is part of the record, and even in the attached notice that is presumed to have been given of his appellate rights, simply does not comply with the requirements of 3.103b1.
Well, let's go to that. If it is on appeal, let's just sidestep the RO's withdrawal. If it is still on appeal, there's no notice of appellate rights that needs to be given anyway. It just needs to be sent back to the board.
That would be correct.
When it is sent back to the board, is there any notification given to the veteran?
The notification that would be given to the veteran would be part of this court's standard order under Kucharowski, that he has the ability to submit additional evidence in support of that, but not in terms of initiating an appeal, because the question then wouldn't.
And what is the case that you just cited to?
It's in all of the standard remand orders, and I believe it's pronounced Kucharowski.
Oh, okay. All right.
Has always challenged me.
Does that apply to a remand from the board to the RO, a remand from the board to the RO to make certain determinations while it is still in appellate status? Does that case apply to that? Are there any regulations governing the situation that you're talking about where it remains on appeal? And actually, isn't 19.38 or one of the regulations along those lines talk about if you aren't granted a full 100%, you send it back to the board? Send it back. Well, it's down to the RO. Went from the board to the RO. The RO gives 30%. Presumably, was seeking 100%. What happens to it? Does it get sent back to the board?
It has to be returned to the board. Oh, if there's not a full grant of benefits. I'm sorry, Your Honor, I wasn't following. Yes, that's correct under the VA.
Are there any notification requirements at that time in regulation to be given to the veteran?
Yes, I believe there is a regulation.
Thank you, ma'am. So if we follow your line of theory that this remained in appellate status, that the RO made some mistakes, nevertheless the board undertook its authority and reviewed this, then we never get to the underlying issue as to whether or not an NOD is or is not, additional NOD is not needed or not.
I believe that's correct.
But if we were to follow the Secretary's argument as he has in his briefs, then we're faced with that because that's the Secretary's position.
Longer be in the 1998 decision,
understand your argument, you said that because the there was a substantive appeal filed and there's no decision on that substantive appeal, then this matter needs to be decided by the board.
Correct.
If that's the case, what do we have to say about it? We have no jurisdiction over that matter. There's no final board decision. We say nothing.
Well, I disagree, Your Honor. I think there is a final board decision because there's a final board decision that has affirmed that there was a full grant of benefits. That is not a correct statement.
In that case, then you're appealing. Then your argument is that you're appealing the 2004 board decision.
That's correct, Your Honor. That is what we are. What is on appeal to this court? That is the final board decision that has taken place. It is not even as the board decision.
And how is that decision on?
Because it concludes that there was a full grant of benefits, and there was not a full grant of benefits. A 30% rating is not a full grant of benefits.
And how would we review that? Under what standard of review?
I believe you would.
That would be a finding of fact, would it not?
No, I believe it's a question of law. The fact that since the board made no decision,
the finding was a full grant of benefits. In other words, what they said that the individual received a rating, had received a finding of service connection, a rating of 30%.
Right.
Now, of that, what's being challenged? I think you said the rating was being challenged because you want 100%, and they said 30. So it seems to me the issue is that you're articulating is what's the appropriate rating, which we review under the clearly erroneous standard.
No, Your Honor.
Let me just interject for a second. I want to be sure on the same sheet. The board said, as this action is considered a full grant of the benefit sought, and I understood your argument to be that he impliedly seeking 100%, therefore it's not the full grant of the benefit sought.
That's correct.
And then getting to Judge Hagel, there would be a debate as to what might be the appropriate one to award, but that wasn't your level. Your level was they all said that it's the full grant of the benefit sought. Well, it could be if the rating scale only allowed that.
That's correct, Your Honor, but this is a psychiatric claim, and I don't believe that fact is in dispute, that there is available a 50, 70, and 100% rating.
If the answer to that question is no, then the board doesn't have jurisdiction, and we have no jurisdiction.
Well, I disagree, Your Honor. The board has jurisdiction because there was a compliance by Mr. Siri with 7105A. There is no case law that I am aware of that says that a determination of entitlement to service connection ends an appeal. Service connection is merely an element of a claim for compensation.
What about Holland? This court's decision in Holland?
Well, this court's decision in Holland first predates the amendment to this court's jurisdictional statute, and I do not believe that the analysis in Holland is consistent with this court's decision Fenderson, to the extent that Fenderson acknowledges the fact that there are other available ratings and potentially staged ratings within now what has become a protracted period of time because of the action taken in 1998, the subsequent action in 2004, and this action before the court in 2007. I mean, we essentially have a period of time in which Mr. Siri has not been subject to any further evaluation of his condition, at least that we are aware of at this point, and certainly the board is not in a position to rely upon any contemporaneous examinations for what the appropriate rating would be for the benefit sought. And this court in AB requires that the VA presume that a claimant seeks the maximum benefit available. And the finding by the board simply contradicts that as a matter of law. I'm sorry, Judge Hagel, were we done?
Well, I think you still haven't satisfied me about the difference, but if you have anything to say more to say about it, I'm happy to listen.
and the difference that you're looking for is the difference between why the board has jurisdiction?
Well, if you say that that this matter is still on appeal,
yes,
then we have nothing to say about it because we don't have a final board decision on it. If you say it's a final board decision, it's a final board decision on something. And that is, you said what you're saying, as I understand your argument, is the reason that there's something still on appeal is because the final decision of the RO was that he had 30% rating. The board affirmed that. So your argument here is that the rating is inappropriate.
No.
And we would review that under a clearly erroneous standard of review.
Your time's up, but just 2 minutes sufficient to add, and then we'll give it to the secretary also. 2 minutes. Only to answer his question, and you don't have to take the full 2 minutes.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sure they asked to sit down. The appeal is on the legality of the board's determination that there was a full grant of the benefits sought. That is a legal determination made by the board without any statement of reasons or bases, and on that alone, the board's decision is defective. And therefore, the court is not capable of reviewing the determination that the maximum benefit or the full grant of benefits sought was awarded because there's no articulation of reasons or bases. So clearly there has been a final decision on the question that was placed in appeal, which is, did I get the maximum benefit available under law? And Mr. Siri did not. The board didn't make a decision on that except to the extent that they affirmed. And to the extent that they affirmed by saying that this was a full grant of the benefits law, the board was wrong, and this court should find that that decision was unlawful and set aside.
All right, thank you. So is this a fake finding?
Your Honor, I think it's a notation. I don't know if the court would prefer the board to not make these notations, but from time to time in the introduction to board decisions, they'll simply reference, without making any finding or issue any order, the procedural history of all the veterans' claims. I don't know how helpful it is, Your Honor, to be forthcoming. But that is a practice of the board on occasion. The board...
Well, it doesn't say... I mean, if it had said that the RO decision was final because it was a full grant of benefits, and therefore is not on review, you would probably accept that, and you wouldn't put the veteran in a quandary of saying, geez, do I appeal this board decision because they made a decision? I think that would be fairly clearly didn't. But this one says this action is considered a full grant of the benefit sought on appeal with respect to that issue. The issues remaining on appeal are limited to those on the title page. It sounds to me like they're looking at it was on appeal here, but since it's a full benefit of the sought, it's no longer here anymore. But don't you put the veteran in a position of saying, I better appeal this because I don't know if this is final. You know, if I go back there and try and argue Q against the RO decision because he withdrew my appeal and he didn't have authority to do so, they're going to say you can't do that because you got a board decision.
Your Honor, respectfully, no.
Why?
And the reason for that answer is that when the board said it made a board used a language, benefits, not just benefits sought, Your Honor, but respectfully, benefits sought on appeal. And benefits sought on appeal is language that is used in 38 CFR 19.38, which Your Honor queried of appellant in the opening presentation. And pursuant to 19.38, when the benefit sought on appeal, and of course the Secretary respectfully submits that that is defined by Barrera and Grantham, and this court has explained that in Holland when the court said, give me leave, I'll quote, the court now holds that the RO's April 1993 award of service connection consisted of a full award of benefits on the appeal initiated by the May 1991 NOD, and that that same RO decision as to the compensation level, and here it cites Grantham and Barrera, or rating and effective date elements required a separate NOD in order for them to be placed in appellate status for the first time. Based on Holland's notation in the final clause, I respectfully submit that this case is no longer in appellate status. And I'll further respectfully submit that the board correctly provided information as to that regard without making any finding whatsoever. I think the operative phrase again is not merely benefits sought, Your Honor, but instead benefits sought on appeal, which whether the court would consider that a term of art, I don't know if that would be useful in the court's analysis.
I guess it goes back to what's the benefit sought, even if it's on appeal. I mean, how many veterans come in and ask you to give them service connection without a disability compensation?
Your Honor, I recognize that the court has issued opinions in that regard. AB is the one that the parties cited in their pleadings. Appellant's counsel also noted Fenderson. I think the important notation that the Secretary would ask the court to make to distinguish those cases is that in each of those cases, an NOD was filed as to the appropriate disability rating. And that being the case, what was on appeal in those cases was certainly different. And I think the court's presumption that it created in cases like AB was where there's an NOD, where the veteran has already told the Secretary that he does not agree with the rating. In that case, the court should presume that he's seeking the maximum benefit. Your Honor, I respectfully submit that perhaps even as a matter of public policy, veterans, as conscientious citizens, are not always seeking 100% compensation. And in the absence of disagreement to the amount awarded by the Secretary, I'm not sure that it's always appropriate to presume that they're seeking greater benefits.
Where anywhere does the Secretary define an award of service connection as a benefit?
Your Honor, I'm not sure that the Secretary defines the award of service connection as a benefit. Probably service-connected compensation is the claim. That being the case,
then what was the benefit sought on appeal when the veteran appealed in this case? If he'd been denied service connection, which includes denial of compensation, but if he's denied service connection and he files an appeal, what you're telling me is the only thing he appealed was a denial of service connection, and now you're saying that that was the benefit sought.